America. Well, this is our third Christmas of the war. And you know, despite that fact, that our thoughts at this time still turn to Christmas trees, to children's toys, and above all, to home. We shan't see so many Christmas trees about. And those that we will see won't actually be quite so big or so gay as they used to be. And the blackout, that forbids the lighted Christmas trees on church steps. In the same way that the blackout forbids those gorgeously lighted and tinsel shop windows displays of toys. The shop windows themselves are not what they used to be. Nowadays they're so small that even in the daylight the children can't quite reach up high enough to see in. But even if they could, I think there'd be some sad disappointments because the toys are smaller and some of them probably more easily broken. The best way to see the toys this Christmas is to stand outside a toy shop. And there you can watch the fathers and the mothers and the uncles and the aunts carrying out their presents, unwrapped for all to see. It's not uncommon nowadays to see a rather dignified figure walking along the street with a teddy bear under one arm, a box of tin soldiers in one hand, and an obviously new umbrella, that present for Cousin George, clutched in the other hand. All that secrecy about Christmas presents is gone. But you know, it's home that we rarely think of. Many of us here will be unable to get home for Christmas because we're working. But there are those others who, although they're not working, cannot get home. Some of them, indeed, don't even know if their homes are still there in those occupied countries so devastated by the Nazi gangsters. It's only 21 miles across the channel to the coast of France. But for the second year, free Frenchmen will be spending Christmas away from home and away from their country. Here in the studio is one of the gallant free French army.
I am a Frenchwoman, a volontaire française, in General de Gaulle's army of free French. Perhaps you have heard of us. We are the French counterpart of the British ATS, and we have enlisted so as to allow as many men as possible to carry on the good fight. I remember my last pre-war Christmas spent in Paris. As the clock strikes 11, we leave for midnight mass. The night is beautiful. In the streets, groups of cheery people hurry to the chapel, which is ablaze with light and gay with foliage and berries. The Christmas carols ring out, celebrating the birth of the divine babe. All is happiness. After mass, we go home for the traditional French réveillon. And when at last friends depart in the early hours of the morning and we seek rest, it is with a heart full of content and thankfulness to the bon Dieu. Christmas 1941. France, beloved France, is occupied by a ruthless enemy who knows no God. The children cannot put out their little wooden clogs for the Petit Jésus to fill them with goodies. There is no singing, no merrymaking. There are tears, heartache, misery, but also indomitable will to resist and defeat the hated Nazis. And here I am, with a volontaire française in grim old London, valiant old London. The ties which unite us to the British are very strong indeed. Our friendship, true and deep. Together we will kneel in prayer. Together we will ask for loved ones in invaded territories. And now, my American friends, au revoir. A happy Christmas, and may resurrected France soon welcome her friends again.
More than 1,000 miles away lies Warsaw, the capital of Poland. We, over here, know Poland best, perhaps by its unbroken spirit under the hideous Nazi oppression. A spirit which is shown so clearly by our fighting men now in North Africa, on the sea, and above all, those magnificent men of the Polish Air Force who know just how to deal with it. Squadron leader of the Polish fighter squadron is in the studio beside me for his thoughts at this time of the year.
A happy Christmas to you, folks. I'll never spend a Christmas with you in the States. I nearly did 4 years ago. But I just managed to catch my boat, and in a way, I am glad, because as things turned out, it was to be my last Christmas at home. My home is in Warsaw, we kept the Christmas in the usual Polish fashion. On Christmas Eve, we had a traditional supper with all the family together. There was the warm, homely atmosphere which you love, as we all do. And then there was a Christmas tree, and all the children received their presents. We sang our Polish songs. And then, later, there was midnight mass on St. John's Cathedral. St. John's Cathedral was badly bombed by the Germans afterwards. This year, Christmas in Poland will be very different from the one of which I have told you. You know, we have an old custom in Poland at our Christmas supper. We leave an empty place which is supposed to be for the stranger or traveler who might pass by, and ask hospitality for the night. This year, there must be many empty places, and there will be many sad hearts. And there will not be much good cheer. The Germans have taken most of the food. But we know that we will have victory, and that there will again be happy Christmas in our good old Poland. We over here are thinking of you at this time. Your first Christmas at war and our third. Maybe some of you American pilots and other folks I knew in America, especially California, will hear this broadcast and remember me. All of you down there in Wyoming, Oklahoma, San Francisco, and Salt Lake City, I had a grand time with you. We are all fighting together now, and as they say in England, the more the merrier. You've got the Japs, and we've got the Germans. Or rather, we've got them both together, and we will get them together where we want them. Again, a Merry Christmas to you all, and to all my fellow countrymen in the United States of America and Canada.
From Norway, that country so ruthlessly and treacherously overrun, we have a representative of the Royal Norwegian Army. What will Christmas be like in Norway this year? Well, that's something that we can only guess. But let Norway speak for herself.
We are now nearing Christmas, but we cannot look forward to it in the usual way. Christmas Eve in Norway has always been a day for family gatherings, and the children look forward to it months ahead. Every home, whether house or cabin, had its Christmas tree, beautifully decorated. By the foot of the tree were lying gifts from everybody to everybody. All those present took each other by the hand and walked around the tree singing the old Christmas carols. The whole atmosphere breathed peace and happiness on earth. This year, these happy scenes will not exist. The Nazis have seen to that. Families are split up. Homes are burned to the ground. Many are killed. Thousands are in German prisons, being tortured by the Germans. The people are starving and freezing, and the Gestapo watches everybody's movements. But the people's spirit is not broken. The will to resist is stronger than ever. They know that we shall regain our freedom once more, that we deserve to live as free people. We, here in the Norwegian Army in Britain, we are only longing for the day when we can meet and deal with the enemy. The enemy who has so brutally robbed us of everything. Soon we shall be able to celebrate Christmas again in a free Norway, in the old way. It is a great consolation for us to know that we have you, nation, on our side in our fight for freedom. We have for centuries been closely linked up with your nation. We have just as many Norwegians in the United States as in Norway itself. And every family in Norway has got someone over there. I myself have a brother in New York, married to an American girl. During the last war he served in the United States Navy. And if I know him right, he'll be in it now too. You Americans and we are now in the same boat. Good luck for you means good luck for us. Good luck.
Near again to our home, and separated only by a narrow strip of water, is the coast of that great seafaring nation, the Netherlands.
We read and hear from day to day of their splendid exploits in the latest battle zone, where they're fighting side by side with you and us.
Hello, America. Here's a sailor of the Royal Netherlands Navy to thank you for your very kind thoughts and Christmas wishes. I can assure you, and I know that I can speak on behalf of all other Dutch sailors, that the friendship and hospitality shown to us in these worrying times has gone straight to our hearts, and so has the knowledge that our Dutch cousins on the other side of the herring pond are with us, smashing the greedy German octopus who would love to suck everybody's blood. In the Pacific, we are now fighting shoulder to shoulder, and will show the so honorable Mr. Jeff that neither America nor Holland have forgotten the tradition of our mutual forefathers and can still soften some. And so, for the second time, I am spending Christmas away from home. Our family reunion, roughly interrupted by brutal Nazism, has to be postponed for another year. But how vivid is still the memory of a Christmas tree laden with parcels. How lovely the carol sounded, with mother accompanying us on the piano. And during dinner, what a lovely time we had. Mother, pleased to see the family together again. My brothers swapping stories about their experiences during the past year. And with what little worry that we look forward to the coming year. How different it all is now. Rotterdam, my hometown, saw many of your country folk coming down the gangway of our big liners, visiting our country to see the bird fields, and so many more interesting sights. However, the next time they come to visit Rotterdam, they won't recognize the place. Everybody in this world has heard or read about the ruthless attack, the indiscriminate bombing of our great city, killing thousands of people and destroying the whole center of the town. But one thing they will find the same, the spirit of the people of Rotterdam, something the Germans can't destroy. So I will finish by wishing you all a very happy Christmas and a victorious 1942. Don't be downhearted, because, believe me, we are not.
The spirit of Rotterdam is the spirit of all those oppressed peoples of the occupied countries of Europe, something the Germans cannot destroy. And so, au revoir, America. We return you now to Cincinnati, Ohio, United States of America.
Thank you, London. Today, ladies and gentlemen, it has been the privilege of the Nation Station to bring you a special Christmas broadcast originating in Cincinnati, Ohio, and London, England, arranged by the WLW Special Events Department in cooperation with the British Broadcasting Corporation. From Cincinnati, you heard Mrs. Rose Hildebrand, widely known for her Letters to England program on this station, her 13-year-old son, Peter Hildebrand. From John Turk, worker in the Cincinnati Metal Products Concern. From Dr. Louis Blubaugh, bacteriologist for a medical manufacturing company. And from Gregor Zimmer, WLW's European commentator, who read a special message from Lord Halifax and Lady Halifax to the people of Britain. From London, you heard four refugees, a young French girl, a Dutch naval officer, a Norwegian soldier, and the pilot of a Polish bombing plane, bringing you their feelings and their greeting at this grim Christmas season of 1941. Their names were not given for obvious reasons. James Cassidy speaking. This is your Clear Channel service, the Nation Station.